Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are a minute or so past the hour on this Tuesday evening, the 1st of May, and it is apparently, thank you very much, it is apparently as hard for many of you to forget the 1st of May as Agnes and my anniversary as it is for me myself. So thanks to you for the email wishing a happy anniversary to us both. It is sincerely appreciated, and we have been gifted with an absolutely beautiful day here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level, West Bycod, Virginia, or what's left of it, and celebrated the same by paying bills. I know, I'm a romantic soul, aren't I? But we did, and, there was a celebration involved. Agnes let me have the salsa for which I have been so desperately jonesing for about 2 weeks now. Yeah, that was really, really nice. And we just had a little alone time together. And that's pretty doggone rare in and of itself. But now, the 6 o'clock hour is upon us here in the Eastern Time Zone. And it is the 1st of May. And the 1st of May happens to have fallen on a Tuesday. So that means that this is a terrible Tuesday. Tormented Tuesday, too weird for words Tuesday, it's whatever it is, it's definitely Tuesday. We probably got some holdovers from last night's Moran Monday. They're not stale yet, believe me, trust me, please. And some programming reminders, or a programming reminder. I will be gone beginning Friday. Friday I leave for Boston. And Monday night, I leave Boston and head for Charlotte, North Carolina. So then returning home Wednesday evening. I probably will not be home Wednesday evening in time to get a show in. And frankly, even if I were, I would probably be a little too zonked to successfully pull it off. The first leg out and the last leg home are both on truly terrifying aircraft. I think they're holdovers from the Civil War or the World War II at the very latest, but we'll be okay. I'm flying out of Charleston to D.C., and then at Dulles I get on an aircraft for Boston. I guess that's better than going through... Really? Well, no, I guess there's no need for just one-shot rides to Boston from Charleston, West Virginia. But there are one-shot rides to New York. Yeah, well, who knows? Many and mysterious are the ways of airline schedules. But yeah, going to Dulles and flying from Charlotte to here, it gets right creepy. Thanks very much for the contribution that just rolled in the door. It is much appreciated. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. If you look there, you will see where we stand relative to our monthly fundraising goal. You know, we pulled up a little bit short last month. That's 3 in a row, I think. The widget will catch up with this in just a second here, and it'll show the contributions that have come in today. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you very much. So, no, I just wanted to make sure that I get it out there that I will be gone. No show Friday, no show Monday, no show Tuesday, no show Wednesday. And then after that, some shows, and then back on the road. It's going to be a very busy month of May. It just is. But that's okay, because it means that we are getting the word out about the Appalachian apocalypse and, well, what the 1% are willing to do to my friends, my family, my neighbors, my colleagues, all in the name of, you know, maybe a quarter of a penny share profit on the quarterly statement, you know, dividends, that kind of thing. You know, the stuff that really matters. You know, money, not life, not health, not safety, not no. What matters is money. So that's the message we will be getting out over the coming weeks. We're taking the fight to the profiteering bastards. And they are that. They're profiteering bastards. They're a violent lot, too. You probably heard me talk about one of the longtime and one of the original participants in this struggle. A fellow by the name of Larry Gibson lives up on Kayford Mountain. Odds are, well, you can Google Kayford Mountain and you can see what a hellscape it is. With all of the blather running around from politicians and industry groups and about the EPA's war on coal and that there Obama's war on coal, you know, some of the knuckle walkers and mouth breathers are bound to take them at their word. So Larry Gibson's home on Kayford Mountain was recently vandalized. It was broken into. A bunch of stuff was stolen, that sort of thing. The folks down, the activists down in Rock Creek, West Virginia, also had their house vandalized in the last 24 hours. Rocks put through their windows, that sort of thing. Gee, it's almost like we've been here before, isn't it? But don't worry, the FBI is on the case. Just not this case. Now, they're not on those cases. They're on the case of some anarchists who were going to blow up a bridge in Cleveland, even though they didn't have any explosives and didn't have any ability to blow up the bridge. But you know, they could like get stoned and, you know, talk about it. Oh, like, you know, we'll leave this place and rebel, you know. Oh, it's going to be terrible. The anarchists are just going to wreck everything, you know. Like, here. Yeah. Right? Yeah, because, I mean, you saw that story, right? Yeah, the FBI provided all the goodies, provided the encouragement to talk about this sort of stuff, and then, of course, the Chicago Sun-Times article coming this way via Sandra. FBI, no credible threat to Chicago by 5 arrested for Ohio bridge plot. The FBI in Chicago say there's no evidence there was ever, important word, ever a credible threat from self-described anarchists who allegedly talked about activists creating havoc during the NATO summit in the city. The agency's counterparts in Cleveland, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, arrested 5 people for allegedly plotting to blow up a bridge near Cleveland. One suspect said anarchists nationwide will eventually be rioting and destroying Chicago and Cleveland. They'll leave Cleveland a pile of rubble in it, and it'll go worse for Chicago. Here. Man, don't bogart it. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bridge that carries a highway over the Cuyahoga Valley National Park in the Brecksville area of Cleveland, 15 miles southeast of downtown. And they planted what they believed to be explosives at the base of the bridge, and then they armed them. Only you can't arm something that isn't explosive in the first place. And then they went to a remote spot and entered the codes that they thought would blow up the bridge with innocent people traveling over it, U.S. Attorney Stephen Dettelbach said. They were all dummies, of course, and they were goaded into it by an FBI informant. See, this is what passes for law enforcement when your nation has gone from republic to empire to fascist state. In the absence of real threats, they will gin some up so as to keep the people in a heightened state of fear. Of course, it's also convenient that these were said to be anarchists, and they tried to, they probably thought well of Occupy or something. You should see the pictures of these goofers. Here. We need a bong. Zarsh. Special Agent Stephen D. Anthony, overseeing the Cleveland Division of the FBI, said, "The individuals charged in this plot were intent on using violence to express their ideological views." The Joint Terrorism Task Force will continue to be vigilant in its efforts to detect and disrupt any terrorism threat, domestic or international. Whether they're actually threats or a bunch of high guys sitting around going, "Here, oh wow, I've got the coolest idea." No, they tried to palm it off on Occupy. Occupy Cleveland immediately released a statement saying, "Occupy Cleveland has, from the very start, espoused peaceful, nonviolent, direct action. These alleged actions taken by these people were completely autonomous." Because, see, this is how crackdowns happen. Let's see, what was the phrase after the Reichstag fire? "Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten." Even though there were no Kommunistens involved in the Arbeit that was the Reichstag fire. But, you know, just let it be a lesson to you. The FBI is not the only organization that has to be alert and be vigilant. If you happen to be a member of some organization that is trying to bring about positive, nonviolent social change, be on the alert for the noob who comes in and says, "Oh, y'all are like doing great stuff, you know, I really dig it. Oh, this is cool. Here, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to blow some shit up. That's what we need to do. Who here wants to blow some shit up? Like, you know, leave the town and, like, rubble, you know, to express our anarchist views. Come on, everybody with me." See, when that guy starts talking, you know he's a rat. He's a fed. He's some sort of cop. And what you do is you say, "Hey, you know what? We're so proud you decided to join us, man. Your work is going to be so important. I tell you what, would you go and alphabetize those phone books? We really need our phone books alphabetized. Go do that. Oh, man, you are such an important part of the movement. Everybody's going to remember that you alphabetized those phone books." And when you're done with that, alphabetize the Rolodexes. They're bad. And then alphabetize the... alphabetize the mailing lists. I mean, we are severely in disarray for our contact list, so we badly, this is work that's needed to be done, and you're just the one to do it. And you just give them meaningless job after meaningless job after meaningless job after meaningless job. Because the whole goal is to insinuate the process so as to stop the valuable, nonviolent, good work that is taking place. Hey, look, let's go plant these on the bridge pier. I mean, that guy over there that he gave them to us, he said he'd plant them himself, but, you know, like, he can't like, carry that much that far, so we'll do it. And then, of course, Bill, Mr. Stress from Cleveland, noting, hell, Bob, there are some bridges in the Cleveland area that are in bad enough condition, all you need is a group that can push. And, of course, the infrastructure got that way. Why? Oh, yeah, that's right, Mitt Romney needed a tax break. Charming, huh? Don't you love it? No, this is, if Thursday is thorn in the side, I guess Tuesday is too weird for words. That's just one of them. This story has a little bit of age on it, but is valuable just the same because, lo and behold, it happens there and it comes back here. Now, this story comes out of Tennessee, and I'm, you know, nobody understands better than David in Tennessee and that these things happen. But here's the interesting thing. They got it right. They didn't get it wrong. Some ignorant twit of a girl, and I'm sorry, it's not she's ignorant and a twit because she's a girl, but she's a girl who's ignorant and a twit. Do you remember the story a couple of weeks back about all the proud sons of Confederate heritage that was upset that there was a museum done opened up in Virginia, the Oldie Dominion? And there's a museum opened up, the first damn thing you saw when you walked in there, hoping to go in, take your hat off, and honor the revered memory of the treasonous Robert E. Lee and the treasonous James Longstreet and the treasonous Johnston and Johnson and Braxton Bragg and all them other treasonous sons of bitches that started the War of the Rebellion, that treasonous P.G.T. Beauregard, Pierre Gustave Toutant. All them treasonous bastards, you're hoping to walk in the door and pay them a little bit of honor, and there's a damn drag queen, a cut-out life-size of a drag queen in a sparkly sequined Confederate flag evening dress. It was disrespectful, I tell you. And them sons of proud Confederate heritage, why, they let folks know how outraged they were. Never mind the fact that it was explained that the reason that RuPaul was there in the dress was to point out the fact that there are appropriate ways to display a flag and inappropriate ones. Of course, I personally think the Confederate flag is most appropriately displayed when it is on fire or being trampled underfoot by free people. Well, okay, so there's that. Well, fast forward a few weeks to Gibson County, Tennessee. Gibson County, Tennessee, over in the western end of the state. I think we had a Gibson County, Tennessee story some while back. Wasn't it in Gibson County, Tennessee? Wasn't that where the gay couple was threatened to be beat within an inch of their life by the minister of the Son of the Prince of Peace there at the church? Wasn't that Gibson County, Tennessee? Well, in this case, Gibson County, Tennessee got it right because there's an ignorant twit of a girl who wanted to go to her prom a wearing of a Confederate flag prom dress. The ignorant 18-year-old's name, she's 18 years old, so we can mention the ignoramus's name. Or would she be an ignorama? Latin, feminine. Yeah, okay. Ignorama. Ignorama's real name is Texana Edwards. Oh, please. Texana, Texana Lou, you come here right now. I'm going to blister your hide. Texana Edwards, 18 years old, and dumber than an effing post. She told everybody ahead of time that she was going to wear her Confederate flag prom gown to her prom, and the school officials said, no, you can't. The school district there in Gibson County, Tennessee, said that the prom gown would in fact be offensive and inappropriate. Now, in the fighting spirit of her Confederate forebears, Texana Edwards said, to hell with the rules and to hell with the law, I'm a-going in my Confederate prom gown anyhoos. And so she did. And she got to the prom, and the folks at the prom said, young missy, you just turn right around, you can go and you can change out of your Confederate prom gown and put on something decent and come on in and just dance the night away, but you ain't coming in wearing that trash. But she was proud of her heritage, Texana Ignorama Edwards was. She's proud of her heritage. And she wouldn't go into that prom less than she could wear her hate dress. Because, you know, she done had it made custom and everything. Oh, for heaven's sakes. The teacher had already told her, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. Why ruin prom? And see, that's the way it is with these little conservatives, these Confederates, these right-wingers. They don't care about anybody but themselves. I mean, the teacher said, you know, why do you want to ruin prom for other people? Don't wear it. You're pretty girl. You're a pretty girl, Texana Ignorama Edwards. You're a pretty girl, the teacher lied. You can just wear something else. But Texana Ignorama Edwards, she's steeped in her Confederate heritage. And she thought, she's pretty sure she had a constitutional, if not God-given right, to wear her Confederate battle flag. But she showed up, and they said no. And so she's very upset because her rights was trampled on. Because she's got state's rights to wear a flag across her, well, never mind that she'd be taken out by Jefferson Davis and personally horsewhipped for the disrespect inherent in wearing the flag across and around and over and under her nasty girly places. No, I don't know. Rhett Butler would probably have to take her upstairs or something. Oh, it's just disgusting. Just whoop her. Funny thing is, the same sort of thing had happened, yeah, absolutely, onward to dystopia. I bet her parents were so proud of her. Well, they had to be because they let her out the door in it. Now, honey, you go ahead. Yeah, we're proud of you, honey. That is a beautiful dress on you, Texana Ignorama. That's a beautiful dress. You just get on in the Trans Am and go on to your prom, but be back before midnight or the Trans Am will turn back into a 72 Dodge Dart with three wheels. Pocket-a-pocket-a-pocket-a-pocket-a. But they've been down this road. In 2006, another ignoramus in Tennessee had been suspended from school for wearing the Confederate battle flag. And they didn't let him. And so he sued the school and said, you're a trampling of my First Amendment rights. For I am proudly displaying my Confederate heritage. See, these self-absorbed assholes don't realize that it has nothing to do with heritage for a whole lot of millions of people, it has to do with memories of hate and night riders and strange fruit swinging from trees and signs that say, don't let the sun set on you here. It is a symbol of hatred no less than the crooked cross that flew for how many years over Germany. And when Cletus T. Dingledick took his case to the court and said, they wouldn't let me wear my Confederate flag T-shirt and he's a trampling on my state's rights, the court said, get the out of here. Schools have an absolute right, the court held, to have certain de minimis rules of decorum that will prevent the school and the learning experience from devolving into chaos. In that particular case, the judge made the holding that one could reasonably assume that the Confederate battle flag was so racially charged that substantial disruption could happen within the school environment. The judge was right. And so there's Gibson County, Tennessee, trying to follow the law, but Texana Ignorama, well, she don't care about no law. She got her a Confederate flag dress. I mean, maybe her boyfriend was coming as General Lee, or maybe they had the General Lee in the parking lot, and you hit the horn, and you know, maybe he's got big ears and buggy eyes and banjos and shit. But I tell you that because Tennessee got it right. On the other hand, it is prom season. And prom season happens all over the United States. Major high school holiday. It's you know, in small towns, it's a big business boost about this time of year, as the young ladies go out looking for what are generally really terrible dresses. Not that I know a hell of a lot about them, but I know tasteful and I know tacky, and tacky rules the day by about 98% to 2. And lo and behold, up here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by God, Virginia, what's left, we's going to have us a prom, too. And I reckon the word, or else it's in the water, I reckon the word of Texana Ignorama Edwards has spread. Because now he's going to have us a statement up here to the high school my children attend. I was informed this afternoon that one of my daughter's classmates has her a Confederate flag dress that she's going to wear to prom, and she's going to be so proud. Now, here's the sad thing. Here's the difference between a Gibson County, Tennessee, and Fayette County, West Virginia. Texana Ignorama Edwards didn't get to wear her Confederate flag gown to her promenade. Prom is short for promenade, is it not? No, she didn't. But I'll bet you, and I ain't got it to bet with, but I'll bet you $1 to $5 that whoever, if she's not actually, then she is the spiritual cousin of Texana Ignorama Edwards, will get to wear. I mean, she'll walk in and they'll clap and hoot and holler and whistle. And if there just happens to be a couple of people of color somewhere in the room, well, they can just shut the hell up. Right? Yeah. I need vacation. I, I will be honestly and truly glad. Well, we're already homeschooling Ferg. Margie's a senior. She'll graduate soon. And we are seriously considering homeschooling our youngest. I can't. Agnes, never mind me. Agnes can't take it anymore. The stupid that is, I mean, you know, last night we were talking a little bit about how ignorant Flush Flimball was and how he didn't understand things like ice cores. And thank you, Dr. John. Thank you very kindly for the affirmation email. Dr. John wrote in a little bit earlier today listening to the podcast from last night. And Flush Flimball's, my friends, for the sake of discussion, he said, I just caught Limbaugh on your conjuration. He's threading a needle there for his fundy audience. And even then, he probably lost a few. On climate history, look at ice cores and tree rings for crying out loud, says Dr. John. And you just mentioned ice cores, Bob. Plus one for that. Those little moments of affirmation are so good. And they mean so much. And see, that doesn't happen a lot around here. Rather like ice cores themselves, you know, that was snow on top of snow on top of snow on top of snow, because it never all fully melted, and it just stacked and stacked and stacked and stacked together. Well, the same thing happens with miserable right-wing horse crap. Here, it stacks and it stacks and it stacks and it stinks and it stinks and it stinks, and you know, it's our anniversary, so we're getting along very nicely. So I'm hearing the story about the Confederate flag down, Agnes looks at me and says, oh no you don't. So I guess no I don't. I don't know. Would there be any harm in an anonymous call to the school board to say, listen, I hear there's going to be an ignorant girl wearing a Confederate flag dress at the Midland Trail prom. Could you look into it? That has no business in a public school. Yeah, onward to dystopia, I agree. Why can't these people display the Confederate flag while walking, say, through the black part of town? Effing cowards. Well, they are. That's why. And, Marty noting, and the dresses cost an arm, a leg, and a vital organ or two. Oh, God, they're expensive. And one of the things, you only find these things out when you've got teenagers. Now, back in the dim, dark mists of time when I was involved in such things, although because of the religious persuasion of our high school principal and that of the other principal, the two high schools in town were not allowed to have proms. We had junior-senior banquets because there could be no dancing on publicly owned school property because the local religious authorities dictated, their word was more important than that of the Constitution. But, you know, tuxes, guys, black, right? Black tux, white shirt, cummerbund, you know, bow tie, whatever. No. Now, the thing is, apparently, for the young lady to explain to her date what color she is wearing, and then the date is supposed to match her dress. And, you know, there I am trying to teach Ferg, you know, I got nothing to teach my daughters about style. It's kind of outside my bailiwick. But I can teach my son to hand tie a bow tie. I would hazard a guess that he's probably one person around here who knows how to do that. And I can teach him which way the cummerbund goes, and when you wear one of those, or you don't wear one with a double-breasted, blah, 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 blah. And I remember him telling me, no, son, no, 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 no. Well, you know, so-and-so's wearing a white one. No! No, really, no. Repeat after me, son. Black tux, white shirt. black tux, white shirt. It's how it works. So I can only wonder what this young woman's date will be wearing. Maybe he'll be wearing the Confederate flag, not the battle flag. He'll be wearing a Confederate flag tux. Jesus Christ. So it's Tuesday. Too weird to be true, Tuesday. And there's, Lord knows, there is more. They are, these weirdos are so far out in the open. They are so fearless now. They are so proud of their hate. That they broadcast it. You've got, granted, they tried to disappear it down the memory hole, but they were not successful. The creeps over at Newsmuck, a guy there named John L. Perry, did you see this? Openly advocating for a military coup against the President of the United States of America. John L. Perry advocating a military dictatorship in the United States. This is what patriotic American John L. Perry has to say. Even though they disappeared it. There is a remote, although gaining, possibility America's military will intervene as a last resort to resolve the Obama problem. Don't dismiss it as unrealistic. America isn't the third world. If a military coup does occur here, it will be civilized. Yeah, civilized. Just like setting off 5 million pounds of high explosives a day on communities in southern West Virginia. That's civilized. Civilized, right. It'll be civilized. That it has never happened doesn't mean it won't. We are getting our logic lessons from the right wing in the last two nights. Last night we had Rush Limbaugh saying, I can't bring him back to life, therefore I did not kill him. Basically. And now we've got, just because we've never had a military coup before doesn't mean one can't happen now. Please, Jesus, let it happen. Get that man out of the White House. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it. But, you know, if you're a real journalist and you've got evidence of this, it needs to be brought to the public's attention so that the treasonous generals in question can be dealt with, because we have a civilian form of government. We just do. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it, so view the following through military eyes. Officers swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Unlike enlisted personnel, they do not swear to obey the orders of the President of the United States. Top military officers can see the Constitution they are sworn to defend being trampled as American institutions and enterprises are nationalized. Which ones? Because the Affordable Care Act certainly hasn't nationalized anything. Jesus, that's a profit machine for the for-profit healthcare industry. And I'll never let the facts get in the way of a stupid argument, right? They can see that Americans are increasingly alarmed that this nation, under President Barack Obama, may not even be recognizable as America by the 2012 election, in which he will surely seek continuation in office. Yes, he will, and don't call us Shirley. They can see that the economy, ravaged by deficits, taxes, unemployment, and impending inflation. Yeah, the inflation is still impending, hasn't gotten here yet. It's just sort of happening inside John L. Perry, inside those sloppy, thin gray settlings that pass for brains that slosh back and forth between his ears. Impending inflation is financially reliant on foreign lender governments. Like it always has been. Because the debt of the United States is what supports the United States. And that debt has always been deemed to be rock solid. And that's why other countries invest in things like American Treasury bonds and so forth. But let's not confuse John L. Perry with basic economic theory. Now, why bother? And let's not confuse him with the fact that the deficits and the deficits were run up by one George W. Pinhead Bush, who waged two and possibly three or four wars off the books. No, let's don't do that. Let's not talk about the right wing, the right wing created the flim flam bunco scam that was the deregulation of the financial industry that led to the credit default swap and the housing bubble and blah, 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 blah. Let's not tell John L. Perry about that either. He's happy in his little world. Capricorn, 24-13. Carousel awaits. He continues. They can see this president. These are, remember, we're looking through military eyes. Apparently, really, really weird right-wing military eyes. They can see this president waging undeclared war on the intelligence community. Gee, I thought he was waging undeclared war on people in Yemen. Without whose rigorous and independent functions, you know, like torture and waterboarding, the armed services are rendered blind in an ever more hostile world overseas and at home. They can see the dismantling of defenses against missiles targeted at this nation by avowed enemies, even as America's troop strength is allowed to sag. Gee, who broke the military? John L. Perry. Who sent soldiers on deployment after deployment after deployment after deployment? Who had, as a matter of example, the Louisiana National Guard and its boats in the middle of the Iraqi desert when Katrina hit? Who was that? Oh, yeah, that was Barack Hussein Obama, wasn't it, John L. Perry? No, sorry. That was George W. Don't Give a Damn About Black Folks Bush. They can see the horror of major warfare erupting simultaneously in two and possibly three far-flung theaters before America can react in time. In other words, Barack Obama is not starting the war like George W. Bush did, and we all know that right-wingers like to start the war even if the war don't need starting. They can see the nation's safety and their own military establishments and honor, oh, that honor, placed in jeopardy as never before. Jeopardy? I'll take stupid wars of choice for 1,000, Alex. What is George W. Bush? Yes. So if you're one of those observant military professionals, what do you do? I'm sorry my Carl Malden is not better. He used to do American Express commercials. You're in a foreign country. Your cash has all been stolen. What do you do? What do you do? Do. Do. Da-do-do-do. Da-da-da-da. Wait until this president bungles into losing the war in Afghanistan and Pakistan's arsenal of nuclear bombs falls into the hands of militant Islam? Yeah, it was a heck of a bungle taking out that there Osama bin Laden. Now, I have issues with it, but it weren't exactly a bungle, now, were it? You know, John Kennedy, after the Bay of Pigs, said, success has 1,000 fathers, but failure is an orphan. And stepped up and took responsibility for the Bay of Pigs, even though sole responsibility for the Bay of Pigs was not his. But no, now, that's how weird this world is. Now we live in a world where Barack Obama is not even allowed to have success. And you've got Willard Romney running around out there. Well, I would have blowed him. I would have had him killed, too. I would have killed him some more. Even though in 2007 he said he wasn't much interested in killing Osama bin Laden. I mean, he really said that. I love the snide turn that he took yesterday. I mean, well, even Jimmy Carter would have made that call. Even Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter ordered a helicopter raid on Iran to try to free the hostages. It was not Jimmy Carter's fault that defense contractors built shitty helicopters that got choked to death by sand. But again, see above, failure is an orphan. And Jimmy Carter was man enough to take responsibility. Which is not something Republicans have ever been much good at. Just say. Wait until Israel is forced to launch airstrikes on Iran's nuclear bomb plants and the Middle East explodes, destabilizing or subjugating the free world? John L. Perry, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but the Middle East exploded about 9 years ago when George started his war of choice. Remember your buddy Rumsfeld when he said that it was going to be that we would be welcomed as liberators? You remember that, John L. Perry? And the entire region was destabilized, just like George W.'s daddy said it would be when he refused to take out Saddam? Yeah, that one. What happens if the generals Obama sent to win the Afghan war are told by this president, who now says, I'm not interested in victory, that they will be denied troops they must have to win? Do they follow orders they cannot carry out, consistent with their oath of duty? Do they resign en masse, or do they soldier on, hoping the 2010 congressional elections will reverse it? What? Jesus, he's it. Imagine a bloodless coup to restore and defend the Constitution through an interim administration that would do the serious business of governing and defending the nation. Skilled, military-trained nation builders would replace accountability-challenged radical left commissars. Having bonded with his twin teleprompters, the president would be detailed for ceremonial speech-making. They're out there and they're openly fantasizing this stuff now. Some of them probably masturbate while they do it. They have completely lost what passes for their itsy bitsy teensy tiny tiny little minds. Just gone. And I guess what's more important, they have no conception whatsoever of who is responsible for the mess. You know, Sandra noting, Jimmy Carter was a Navy officer. What was Romney's military service? Nothing. Draft-dodging idiot. And that phrase, civilized coup, Marty noting, yeah, like the coup in Chile was civilized. Yeah, helicopter trip there, a helicopter trip here. Man, pretty soon dissent gets pretty quiet. Jesus, the stupid. And that's not all the stupid we have. We have tons of stupid hither, thither, beyond. and too weird Tuesday. I think we're smack dab in the middle of it. And we just, you know, I guess it's like dropping acid and you just got to wait for the trip to end and things will get back to normal and the walls will quit breathing, right? Although it's kind of hard to take that ride, isn't it? So we'll take a little break and we'll come back on the way. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Light up the phones. Don't wait till the end of the program. I didn't get on. Light up the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, H-E-A-D-O-N, head on. If you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan or it doesn't cost you anything to call, 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. You can also reach the program via email at Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Okie dokie? Okie dokie. So we'll be right back. Light them up. This is the horn.
He's a new fashioned imperialist. He may not have a mill, but he has a lot of grist. Chinese convict labor.
Preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. the Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
It's May 1st, 2012.
New poll shows Americans want clean energy and are willing to pay for it.
We heard today about fishing regulations. I'll continue to learn more about those regulations as they affect this industry.
Mitt Romney, still unclear on the concept of overfishing. Meet the nation's newest oil spill, now in Louisiana. Big oil rolls in taxpayer dough, but America's wind industry begs for scraps. Plus,
these things are poster children, we're told, for addressing global warming. Now they're contributing to it.
No, Fox News, wind farms do not cause global warming.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
What is the intent of the environmentalist community, really?
The environmentalists have never liked progress, and they've never liked capitalism. This is a long-running plot, quite frankly, concocted in the minds of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels.
That's what it is. Happy May Day, comrades. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, we have heard now for months and years how divided this nation is. But once again, we have yet another new poll that shows that this nation is not divided after all, that this nation agrees on things like clean energy, regulating carbon, and being willing to pay for it.
Indeed they are, but more on that in a moment. First, unclear on the concept of overfishing. That's GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney, who in a campaign appearance in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on Monday, attacked the Obama administration's new catch limits and other regulations aimed at recovering commercial fishing stocks in the North Atlantic that have crashed in recent years.
Across America, regulators just multiplying like proverbial rabbits. And making it harder and harder for enterprises to grow and to understand what their future might be.
So he's upset about the regulations that are meant to keep the fish alive so that the industry can continue?
Yes. So when he learns more about overfishing, maybe he'll hear about the last time, 20 years ago, when U.S. fishery regulations were implemented too late to save the commercial fishing industry from itself, when massive overfishing caused the permanent commercial collapse of the North Atlantic cod fishery.
Good Lord.
ExxonMobil says it's cleaning up a small oil spill from a pipeline in Louisiana. It's only 80,000 gallons of crude. This newest oil spill comes on the heels of a new report this week that criticizes regulatory oversight of the nation's oil and gas pipeline industry. The new report from the National Wildlife Federation finds that underfunded federal, state, and local regulators generally give pipeline companies great leeway in most cases, allowing the industry to regulate and inspect itself. A spokeswoman for the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration says they have requested more funding from Congress to hire additional inspectors.
But we know how regulations kill industry, so who needs it?
Also on Capitol Hill, the American wind energy industry is on the ropes. While Big Oil has successfully fought off all attempts to repeal its billions in permanent taxpayer subsidies, America's wind energy industry is losing its production tax credit when it expires at the end of this year. A bipartisan coalition of industry and business groups are calling on the Republican-controlled Congress to extend this production tax credit. They say that the threat of expiration is already shutting down factories and jobs in the U.S. wind industry. Democratic Representative Peter Welch of Vermont says this uncertainty for investors is already hurting U.S. global competitiveness.
This production tax credit is really, really essential to give us a chance to compete against where a lot of wind technology is being exported, and that's to China.
So the Republicans are set to allow this tax credit to expire?
If they don't agree to take action, it will expire in December.
And isn't that the equivalent in their minds of raising taxes? And isn't that exactly what they fight against for the oil industry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I guess raising taxes is in the eye of the legislator.
Speaking of hot air, Fox News thinks it's found a new cause for global warming.
There's a new study dealing a blow to all of these wind turbines the taxpayers are backing. It shows wind farms are fueling higher temperatures on the ground. Imagine that. These things are poster children, we're told, for addressing global warming. Now they're contributing to it?
No, Neil Cavuto, they're not. That's yet another lie from Fox News misrepresenting a new study from the journal Nature Climate Change that found nighttime temperatures are 1 degree Fahrenheit higher at the base of wind turbines, and that's just due to mixing of the air. The scientists explicitly state in their study, wind farms do not contribute to global warming.
I cannot believe that Fox is misrepresenting climate data.
And yet, clean energy is exactly what Americans want to see more of. That's according to a new poll, a joint project of Yale University and George Mason University, that found a strong majority of Americans want their tax dollars to go toward research and development of clean energy. 75% of Americans support regulating carbon dioxide emissions. 65% support the U.S. signing on to an international treaty to cut emissions. 61% support a carbon tax.
So all the things the Republicans have told us the country is against, it turns out they're in favor of. Who could have guessed it? For all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Coming up on 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. I'm Bob Kincaid. You can, of course, listen to The Horn in a variety of different ways. Available as a podcast at iTunes or at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Your choice entirely. iTunes Radio, Stitcher runs the podcast and the live programming. As does the live programming is available also at TuneIn Radio, Tuner Internet Radio. My goodness gracious, the platforms for getting internet radio are proliferating like mushrooms after a spring rain, and it's wonderful that they are, and we are on a large number of them. So just have a look about. But on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and Tuner Internet Radio are three really, really good good alternative. You can take The Horn with you wherever you go and even listen live. Even, like, you know, when you're stuck in traffic or stuff. Of course, it's better with Wi-Fi than unless you're with Sprint, who doesn't meter its bandwidth like a certain company that I won't name except to say that their name has an A, a T, and a T in it. And another company that supports mountaintop removal had a booth at Don Blankenship's big America rally on top of a mountaintop removal site a few years back, you know, where Ted, child sexual abuse Nugent, showed up. Yeah, Verizon. But apart from that, it is quite encouraging to see the way that internet radio is proliferating, as noted previously, heretofore, supra to wit. You know, of course, the phone number, and the lines are open. I try not to just filibuster the whole damn show. The lines are open, 877-443-2366, and you're welcome to jump in and participate in really any way that you see fit. This isn't one of those programs no Ustream, Marty. No, meaning it's cheaper. It's easier to listen if you're somewhere that has Wi-Fi. But you certainly can listen in the car if you've got a wireless plan that will allow you to stream that much content. I try to be clear, but sometimes I guess I'm not. But no, we've got tonight, Wednesday night, and Thursday night to chat. And then, as noted, I'm away from the microphone for Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, that's the reality of the situation. We have horses' rear ends by the dozen, it would seem. One that goes particularly to something I'm dealing with, a great big go jump in a lake to right-wing Republican Representative Tom Price of Georgia, a medical doctor. I wouldn't let this little bastard put a Band-Aid on for fear he'd kill me. Then there's, generally speaking, there's, there's the story of gun sales in the United States, because Obama's going to get your guns. And then, well, you know, I hate it that I'm constantly talking about what it takes to fund this little operation going forward on a month-to-month basis. They don't have to do that over at Liberty Council Radio. They got money coming out their ears because it's all tax-exempt, or as the song from the Chasers on Wednesday night says, and it's all tax-free. I've got that story about Liberty Council Radio somewhere in the stacks as well. But enough of that. Light up the phones if you want to, and we'll see where it takes us. Let's go to the phones right here, right now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Listen, I was laughing with that chick with the dress.
Texana Ignorama Edwards?
No, I mean, it was just, and they had a picture of her, I guess that was in her room, and she was showing it off, and I just thought,
I feel deprived. I didn't see the picture.
You didn't see a picture?
No, I'm just a radio guy.
Shut up, man. The picture is just, wow. She was standing out in the grass in front of something. And, yeah, it was some sort of mermaid-type Confederate.
Oh, you mean with, like, the tapers down to the ankles and then sort of like one of those things that Tina Louise wore on Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know if it had, you know, but it just looked like it was going that direction. I just couldn't believe, you know, some 18 years. It just was pathetic and just disturbing, you know?
Well, now you've got me looking. Oh, okay. So there, you know, this is the handy thing about having a live audience in the chat room.
Oh, someone posted.
Yeah, there it is. And no. She done had it made special and everything.
Yeah, no. It's hideous, and it's such a, you know, perfect story for today, I guess, you know?
Yeah, and imagine my shock when I heard that there was going to be one at the local prom up the road. Charming.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I was just sort of shaking my head. I'm like, I said, oh, no, he popped up in Afghanistan. You know what I mean? It's just some sort of Bush redux, you know. I'm sorry. As soon as I heard that, I thought, now he's appearing in the various war zones. Great.
Well, and of course, that's a great big let's see if you've got the guts to do this Mitt Romney kind of thing.
Well, no, but Mitt Romney, he need to shut the hell up. I mean, I couldn't believe that little quib about Carter. I'm like, you couldn't even stand in Carter's shoes, you asswipe. Mitt Romney, I mean, please give me a break. His foreign policy, the people are still stressing the Cold War, for Pete's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just a joke.
They are literally in a different century.
No. Yeah, exactly. And you know, he doesn't have any. He's a joke. I'm just sort of beyond the beyonds with Mitt Romney. It's like, don't talk about anybody. You ain't served shit. You actively use your cult to get out of service, right?
Didn't his mission trip to, you know, the heathens in France, didn't that keep him out of Vietnam?
Yeah, right. He didn't even have the balls to go to a third world country for his little mission. France, please. God.
Well, he was special assistant to the prophet or something over there.
No, listen, the more Mitt Romney. I mean, that dude is gonna get. I don't know. I suppose they keep showing these polls, which I don't believe, that he's somehow hanging in there. I mean, he has to be one of the most despicable candidates I've ever seen, ever. And I've been following politics, you know, actively since I was 13.
Yeah, for too long, right.
And it's just like he's wow. I'm left, I lost the words for just how insipid and vino this guy is. He's awful.
Well, I love this idea that everybody would have ordered that kill shot on Bin Laden, when in fact Barack Obama's own cabinet was split on the issue. Did you happen to notice that? I mean, Joe Biden was saying, you know, Mr. President, I really wouldn't do this because we don't necessarily know that's him and we don't know that it's there and this could be a real big mess.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to be voting for Mr. Obama, but he loves his killing because now he's okayed it for them to drone out people even when the target is, quote, unknown.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, you don't kill much? It's like blood. It's really a lot of bloodletting to me. I find it quite, you know, we've had this conversation about Obama. I'm like, I'm scared of that fool. Scared, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, and it sort of ties in with the whole great big plot to blow up a bridge in Cleveland that wasn't really.
Well, no, I couldn't even. That one was just like, oh, what? You know what I mean? And to me,
it falls into the same category as, hey, guys, we got some new basketball shoes here, a couple, you know, you want to go blow up the Sears Tower?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, to sort of, you know, prey on the simpletons, you know what I mean? I like how they try to link it to Occupy, and it just was like, oh, no, you know? And they're just giving anarchists a bad name. I mean, all the anarchists I've read about in history seem pretty damn smart, not like these dumbasses. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, and that's the thing. They're not. I mean, let's take, for instance, what was her name? Emma Goldman.
Well,
you know, she was an anarchist during the Russian Revolution, and she went over to check out what was going on there and said, F these people. You know, she didn't want anything to do with the Bolsheviks either.
Yeah, well, and those two, and the Italians that got strung up here.
Sacco and Vanzetti.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a lot more. I mean, don't, you know, please, let's, I don't know. The whole thing is just, it just preys on everyone's lack of any historical perspective whatsoever.
Well, I get the creeping, crawling paranoids every time I see one of these, because these things are tailor-made. I mean, I remember, what was the big summit thingy in Canada where the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or the Quebec Provincial Police or whatever.
G20 thing. Yeah.
Yeah, got busted, cold busted, for running around among peaceful protesters saying, well, let's hit somebody.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. By the way, Patty just dropped a note and she said, Obama in Afghanistan. She said, if you were President Obama, wouldn't you want to be all the way in Afghanistan when you told us, your base, that you were trapping us in Afghanistan until 2024?
What, was that, did they actually come out with a date like that?
I'm waiting for the follow-up. I
thought it was 2014.
Well, that's what it was last time.
Well, no, the thing is, I think that the money changers are probably whispering at Obama that he has to wrap that up.
You think? You don't think it's good for business anymore?
I know. I'm starting to think that, you know, the sort of, he really is presiding over the decline.
I've always got in the back of my mind that report about, well, there's tons and tons and megatons of lithium in the soil of Afghanistan and rare earth elements and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
you don't think we want that stuff?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's still ways of managing that, you know, without the spectacle that's going on now. I just think that he's going to draw down the troops pretty substantially before his term is up. You know what I mean? If he gets back in, that is.
Well, I would...
I don't know. I just don't... Because, you know, the real... The economy here is just, I'm sorry, it's just not sustainable if they're going to keep it configured as it is, you know, where you have massive unemployment, like permanently. It just, you just can't You just can't sustain.
Well, I saw that one report on the growth of the economy that said, you know, the economy grew at 2.2% and it's lower than anybody wanted. But the takeaway line at the bottom of it, Sandra, was some economists now say that 2.2% indicates the beginning of what is considered a sustainable recovery.
Well, yeah, and you can have a heart attack and that'll lift the gross domestic product. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'm kind of, you know, the indices are all jacked up. I'm not really believing them anymore, especially, like I said.
Well, Krugman on the austerity ferry last week or whenever it was just beautiful because he sort of exposed the fact that all of this austerity business is entirely a product of the imagination of people who profit by it.
Yeah, and also, it's heartbreaking for average people when you look at the example of England. They did that by design to go into austerity. They didn't even have to do it. And now they're in recession, and the Tories are scrambling around like the little pigs that they are, trying to privatize the National Health Care Service. I mean, the shit that's going on in England is just, I just shake my head. I'm thinking, my goodness, they are, and they're not, they were nowhere near in the condition that the continent is in, yet they decided, because they have 5 years to inflict it on the people before they face election. So I don't know what's going to happen to the UK.
And that was what was so disgusting about that story of Her Royal Highness and the bravery and intrepidity that she showed in going to see her really big barge.
That horrible boat. Yeah, that was like my eyes. I couldn't even believe that. I mean, I'm thinking, can't you just fall in there and just call it a day? Shit. No, listen, that situation in Europe, that's what should be keeping Obama, should be keeping him up at night, because it's not good over there. I mean, Spain, you know, they're in depression. I mean, that is a depression. 30% unemployment.
And we don't hear much about Italy, but things aren't necessarily good there, are they, either?
Well, no, but the only upside is that Roya, I think his name is, the leader of Spain, said to Europe, no, sorry, we cannot meet this benchmark for our budget. We're going over it. That is sort of the first crack in their horrible austerity plan. And the Netherlands is another one. It's like, did you know that government fell the other day?
I saw that.
You know, that's all behind that bullshit, too. Italy, that technocrat is actually making noise about, we need to talk about growth now. This ain't working. And, you know, in the meanwhile, you know, Fraulein.
Frau.
Blücher. She's trying to hold on, you know, to this fantasy that you can maintain this horrific export economy and expect the other countries to do what? I mean, no, you can't have to beggar thy neighbor, and that's what Germany's doing. They're benefiting, but if they don't have anyone to export to, what's going to happen eventually?
Sooner or later, somebody's got to be able to buy something, right?
Yeah, exactly. No. So that situation over there is nasty, and it's extra nasty because you have the head of the European Central Bank talking about the solution is to dismantle the social contract and compact. That's what they were all about. But I don't know. The last time they did that, you know, how many millions of people died? 50?
Yeah, there was a connection, wasn't there?
Ah, give me a fucking break. But anyway, yeah, so the thing is, though, I'm really scared about the cliff that we're going to be going off of in the lame duck. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things happening during that period, right after the elections here, and it's all backloaded to, you know, really send this economy into a tailspin if they get their way, you know?
Well, if they do...
I guess what I'm asking
is if they do anything at all.
Well, but an unfettered Obama isn't very, that's not very comforting to me either, with his reform fetish for entitlements. Don't forget. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. See, I remember, I will be a long time forgetting what Alan Grayson said on that boat in the middle of the Caribbean. You know, about how the President Obama told him, you know, you know, Mr. President, if you could do one thing that you wanted to, what would it be? You know, world peace. No, his answer was reform entitlements.
Well, you know, and I looked at that whole Hamilton speech again. You know, one of the things he said was that, well, with the baby boomers, you know, retiring, and those programs were designed in 1938. Same thing said about Glass-Steagall, too, right? You know, so...
Yeah, it outlived its usefulness.
Right, that whole song and dance. And it's just like, you know, so that worries me with him. And I'm only speaking about it because I really don't know what has to happen in order for Romney to be elected. I don't see it. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I know we have a few months, but getting back to him, have you ever seen anyone so horrible?
You mean just greasy and nasty and...
Yes. Oh, God.
Because I saw this the other day, Sandra, and tell me if I'm a little bit nuts or whatever, but I saw a comparison between the baby boomers and so-called Generation X. You know, that's the generation after the baby boomers. That's the generation that starts like 1968.
Oh, okay, right.
And the way it was presented was that there were 80 million baby boomers and 70 million Generation Xers.
Right.
Well, if the whole reason that Social Security is going to collapse is because of the baby boomers, and there's actually just 10 million less Generation Xers, then how does that whole collapse thing work?
Well, it don't work, because in 1983, Reagan doubled the payroll taxes to accommodate this baby boomer's retirement. I mean, we're just being told lie after lie. You know, we had 6% FICA taxes when Reagan came to office, and when he left, he doubled it because of the big Social Security Commission with Alan Greenspan and all them other freaks. So they doubled it, and that was supposed to take care of the baby boomers, which it would if they wouldn't be undermining it now. So they're just lying. And what it all comes down to with Social Security is that these rich assholes don't want to pay.
And the reason I ask is because Social Security is the same. It's not the same. It's much more miserly than the European social safety net. And in both instances, basically, you have the 1% wanting that money. It's not that it's going to collapse. They want that damn money. Have I got that part right?
Well, they don't. No, they don't want to cover the maturing, you know, bonds in the system. You know what I mean? They don't want to have to make good on it, because in order to make good on it, you know, fair shares, they have to pay in some form or manner, you know. I mean, I just think it's just a way to get rid of a system they've been wanting to get rid of forever.
Well, they didn't want it in the first place.
They just lie, talking about how it's not...
Why can't anybody with a bully pulpit point out the fact that Republicans hated Social Security the minute that it was passed? They have hated it every minute since then, and their stated goal has always been to destroy it. Why can't that be said?
No, and also, why can't it be said that if you just raise the ceiling on it to $200,000, $300,000, or lift it completely, it would be solvent for the next 5,000 years? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And
there's a couple of things you can do. You can also lower that damn retirement age to age 62 or 60 and open up the job market wide open. I mean, it's so backwards here, and so it makes you see what the real agenda is, which is to, you know, turn everybody just desperate.
And take the money and run.
With no security, and that's it.
Because what happens to that money, Sandra, if the right wing gets hold of it? If the 1% gets hold of it?
Well, I'm not too sure about all that, because I know there's a lot of laws in place to protect that program. So that's why they're taking the propaganda tack to undermine it, because it's fine. That's the thing. The program is fine. And like I said, the idea that they can't have a discussion to raise the ceiling is disgusting, because that would solve the problem, and they should be increasing the benefits, not raising retirement ages. I mean, everything points to strengthening the system, and it will help the economy overall in so many different ways, and taking care of the health care.
Yeah, and see, our buddy Benedict is in the chat room, and he just said, they want that damn money, but it doesn't exist and never did. There is no question of Social Security solvency, Benedict notes. He says, there's never any question of solvency with a sovereign fiat currency. The government of the United States can never become insolvent as a matter of, I don't know what you'd call it, not as a matter of law or physics or as a matter of economics, I suppose.
Well, I guess unless the nation state or of the U.S. cease to exist. Yeah, I know, I guess, yeah.
Right, because, it's like these idiots that prattle on about the debt. My own senator, Blanche Manchin, was addressing the Chamber of Commerce of Beckley, West Virginia, Friday night, and all he could talk about was debt, that this debt is going to kill us, this debt's going to choke us to death, our economy's going to be destroyed by this debt. But it's all BS.
Well, not only that, but I mean, the inequality weighs heavily on that. I mean, the whole idea that all you ever hear people doing is bragging about how many billionaires are here. Well, see, that's part of the problem. All the productivity gains are not going to the people who are increasing productivities. I mean, the workers are being so screwed in this country. If you look at charts, you see productivity going off the chart and wages going down.
Every other day there's another political speech out there. American workers are the most productive workers in the world. That means they're working more for less.
Right, and no, and all the money is being pushed upward. I mean, it's just a travesty what's going on, and if you're working, it's just getting worse and worse and worse, and they want to completely undermine what little safety net there is. I don't really know. I'm not too sure how they're going to be able to justify it, though, because one thing you can thank Occupy for is that more Americans are aware of the inequality just on the strength of that, which is a real problem for the elite. If they're going to turn around and say, sorry, we can't provide any safety net anymore, but we need to lower these taxes right here for these rich people. It ain't working.
Well, I mean, look at the polling data on the Buffett rule.
Yeah, exactly.
70% of Americans, and a plurality of teabaggers, for God's sakes.
Right, and you have and that's why people are having serious conversation about that the Republicans could possibly lose the House, because Ryan is not helping their cause. He's stammering and stuttering now because people are starting to ask, maybe your budget is a bit of a problem for your party. Stammer. So, no, the Republicans are probably cursing Occupy because they don't want average Americans to be thinking about, why some son of a bitch got $40 billion and they can't, take care of their sick kid. They don't want people to make those sort of connections because Americans never did that before. We always just dealt with our own misery and called it a day. But now people are starting to say, well, why does this son of a bitch got to go to Venice for lunch? He lives in New York.
Because, I don't know, because the martini was invented in Venice?
Well, I'm just saying, this is the sort of...
No, I understand.
That these people have, but I think, as the curtain is drawn, I don't really think, your average hard-working person is appreciating hearing about we need to lower taxes on these people even further.
No.
From Ryan or Obama. All of them. They all can go to hell. I just think that... So this election might be kind of interesting, although I'm scared of the it's not who vote, but who counts. That's a bit of a problem.
Well, it is a bit of a problem, and I've got a little... Jesus, I don't want to sound like, Tom Friedman out there talking to cabbies or anything, but... or is that David Brooks that talks
Shut
to cabbies?
Up. No, it's Friedman. Suck on this. That guy? Yeah. Shut up, man.
I'm gonna be gone on the road next Tuesday, so I wanted to make sure I got my voting done for our West Virginia primary. And
that's
so I went over
in June, right?
Next Tuesday.
Oh wow, okay.
So I went over and voted, and the woman asked me, at the grocery store they ask you paper or plastic. And at the early voting, do you want to vote with a paper ballot, or do you want to vote with a video game over here? And I said, no, I'll take the paper ballot, thanks. I don't do video game voting. And I said it exactly that way. And she said, you know, I'm a poll worker, so I'm not allowed to ask these kind of questions. But I have so many people tell me that they won't use that machine, and I just wonder why it is. And I said, well, I don't want to cause any trouble, but it's because they are proven to be insecure and manipulable, and there's no way to verify that the vote you cast is the vote that gets counted.
Yeah, that's a pretty clear explanation. Did that resonate?
Well, I'm just going to have to read up on some of this. I said, I strongly suggest you do, and I wish to goodness our Secretary of State would. But even so, the so-called paper ballot that I got, Sandra, was, you know, an optical scan.
Well, yeah, I'm about to say, then they still, you know, it's still sort of Stalin who does the counting, isn't
Precisely.
It? So that's a bit of a worry to me. Also, the sort of, you know, the sort of inattention that the Democratic Party has given to the voter ID business that's happening all
And
over.
See, I had that creepy moment. I walked up and they said, what's your name? And I told them, and I whipped out, without even thinking, I whipped out my voter registration card. And then it occurred to me, why should I have to do that if I'm on the voter rolls?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's also, you know, it's just there is no fraud. That's the thing. It's just outright lies when you look at the numbers, you know. I think they had 11 cases between 2000 and 2008 in the whole damn country.
And see, I was having a phone conversation earlier today, and I mentioned the fact that, you know, Wisconsin has a primary and a general recall election coming up in the space of a month. And that's going to be both sides are going to be watching. That's going to be a bellwether for how much can be gotten away with and how pissed off the American people are. If Scott Walker gets bounced out on his ass, it's a good sign. And the Senate is almost certain to turn Democratic, and that's good sign.
No, but do you see how much money that man has raised? More money than they've ever seen. It's like $25 million or something. He's already spent 20. And it's just out of control, and I guess I heard someone was talking, Nichols was saying that he's raised like, you know, $8 million, and it all came from out of the state. Just unimaginable type of campaign financing going on.
Oh, and these aren't little $5 and $10 contributions.
No,
he
raised $1 million in Florida, just Florida alone.
Yeah.
But that's an important. I don't even know what.
You know, bless Brad Friedman's heart. He'll be all over. He'll be all over Wisconsin like a dog on a bone wagon, and we'll find out just how dodgy an affair it is in terms of who counts the votes.
Oh, I know. But see, that's I can't even stress how important it is for him to go bye-bye. Not just for a message to Republicans, but also a message to Obama. I mean, I'm sorry. We got to look past the election here, because I just think that we're going to be fighting for our lives here, no matter who's in the White House.
Well, and that's the thing. The White House is somewhat, and you know, I've been hollering this for a while now, Sandra. The White House is somewhat of a distraction, because the fact of the matter is, can you imagine John Boehner, Speaker of the Senate, and Mitch McConnell, Speaker of the House, and Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the absolutely hallucinogenic, crazy shit that they will just fold into paper airplanes and fly onto Obama's desk? And how many of them he'll sign?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's really quite disturbing, you know. But it's also disturbing just how distorted our system has become, and it just seems to be stuck in stupid because, you know, like I said, if I may go back to the fact that I've been following politics since I was 13, and the prominence of the filibuster, that's a joke. You know, that whole thing is just an outrage that we can get a majority and we still can't get anything done. I mean, the Senate is about as undemocratic as it was before 1917 when they elected the Senate, you see? I mean, it's outrageous what's going on in our system is paralyzed. And it can't address these massive problems that we have, Bob. And I just don't, I'm not too sure what has to change.
Well, I can tell you this much. I've gotten emails in from Patty. It is not going to help. Patty just sent me a screenshot, okay? And it's Barack Obama standing in Afghanistan, and the font underneath him from MSNBC says, Presidential Address, Deal Keeps U.S. Troops in Afghanistan Until 2024. The New York Times has it. RT has it. The long-awaited withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan may not be as full as had been expected. The U.S. will help defend the country militarily for at least a decade after Afghans take control of their security, a national security advisor said. The pledge is contained in the new strategic pact agreed between the two countries on Sunday.
So, one of those SOFA agreements, they already have one of those?
Just done.
That means that that horrible lobbyist has given immunity to God. I mean, God help us if that's the case. Wow, 2024.
And, you know, I hate to do the whole I told you so thing, but, you know, welcome to the empire.
Well, no, but I mean, 2024, damn, Ferg, he might be married with kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, where are the nieces going to be in 2024?
Oh, my God. Well, listen, that, okay.
You know, and you and me, we're going to be gumming our oatmeal.
Oh, yeah, you know, old is, you know, let's nod and say we did. Anyway. Wow. I don't know. I can't even. Yeah, well.
No, it's some tough gristle to chew. And like I said, you know, this isn't just crazy talk. The New York, you know.
Yeah, he signed the some sort of Afghan pact. God,
yeah, on surprise trip to Kabul, Obama signs Afghan pact. With this agreement, the Afghan people and the world should know that that Afghanistan has a friend and a partner in the United States. With this agreement, I am confident that the Afghan people will understand that the United States will stand by them. Well. See, that's Karzai's deal, Sandra. That's not the Afghan people's deal.
No.
That's Karzai feeling his head getting a little wobbly on top of his shoulders.
Well, I can't imagine that he's going to be in power for that. I'm sorry. I think he's definitely a mark idiot. I guess he looked at, oh, I can be taken out by the U.S. or by people here, and he opted to sign the agreement. I mean, who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was Hamid Karzai. You've got a phone call from President Diem.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He's terribly corrupt, that guy. But anyway, wow, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's not exactly one to make you want to get out the dancing shoes, I understand.
Oh, no, and also it just seems really, you know, very implausible. And, you know, because the Obama administration is known for smoke and mirrors. So I'm not saying that it's not the case, but, you know, I just read today that they slipped in the abstinent-only education as part of their sex education thing.
No.
Yeah, they slipped that in. So it's just like, oh, God, okay.
Lovely little pun there, they slipped it in.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean it to be
fun,
but
sometimes it just happens. Oh, by the way, I got to back us up for just a minute. We started out talking about Texana Ignorama Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a picture of. I finally got a picture over here standing next to her, you know, size 26 dress. And I mean, that is one big Confederate flag, and it's all spangly and sparkly. But that's right. Not the telling point. You know me, Sandra. I'm always one for looking at the details. So
yeah.
There it is, hanging on a plastic hanger from a nail in the wall. But over her left shoulder, of course, is a cross. But the best part of all is the T-shirt that Texana Ignorama Edwards is wearing.
What's it say?
It don't say anything. It's a yellow, it's, you know, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they don't have these in California. Or maybe they don't where you are or whatever, but... when there's, you know, when you're out in a rural area where deer are prone to leap in front of your automobile, at the last possible moment. And, I mean, we have tons of deer damage here to cars and stuff. It's why my rates are probably higher than yours or folks out there. Well, so they put these yellow signs up on rural roads that just show a buck leaping, okay? Now, Texana Ignorama Edwards is wearing a shirt with that sign on it, but the sign has bullet holes in it. And that's a very real thing in Jesus land. The Bubbas and the Bubettes will get all good and drunked up on their Milwaukee's Beast Light or their Keystone Light or, you know, whatever's going for $5.99 a 12-pack down to the Rippy Mart, and go driving around, and they will shoot the deer signs in the absence of a deer itself to shoot.
Well, I mean,
and so yeah, and so you know, that's what Bubette here is wearing, a black T-shirt with a yellow deer crossing sign that's got bullet holes, you know, imitation bullet holes in the sign itself. I mean,
well, the picture that I saw, you know, it was hanging up on like some sort of fake wood paneling, and I just had a flash of I had a flash of the Angry Grandpa series. You know, I thought, oh God, is that from that show?
You know, what an idiot! Because it is 2012.
Exactly.
And in 2012, if you don't know that wearing something like that to your prom is intended as being nothing, it is. I don't care what kind of excuses they make. You have to know at the end of the day that it is fundamentally inflammatory. And if you insist upon wearing it, then you are wearing it for its inflammatory value. There's no escaping it. Am I okay so far?
Well, exactly.
So this girl deliberately wanted to inflame people at her high school. She was, for all intents and purposes, within First Amendment meanings or First Amendment definitions, her dress constitutes yelling fire in a crowded theater. It is a deliberate incitement.
Yeah, I just looked at her. I said, oh, my God, what an absolute dumbass. I don't know.
Yeah, ignorama.
Oh, listen, I have to see if you saw this. My son went to heaven. That story.
Oh,
did you?
You talking about the little book that's like a multi-billion seller in Walmart?
Right. I really would like to hear your opinion about that. That one just floored me. I'm like, of course, Jesus was white.
Oh, of course, he wasn't even Jewish anymore. He probably growed his foreskin back and stuff.
Oh my God, that whole thing was so disturbing. I'm just like, wow.
And you know, mommy and daddy were there to profiteer on little sick Sonny's back, you know, straight away.
No, but that son of a bitch is still around making videos and talking about the story that happened to him, you know, 10 years ago or whatever it was, and it's just like. It's the Left Behind. I'm thinking
that's exactly it sits on the same shelf.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking that market is so lucrative.
Have you?
You know?
Well, you probably don't go into Wally World, but if you were, you would be astonished if you walked into the so-called book section.
Where I worked as a Wally World, so yeah, I go in it. The last time I went, I was confronted with a big ass picture of Steve Jobs. I'm like, his damn book. So no, I know what you're talking about.
Well, if it's not Harlequin romances and bodice rippers, it's vampire books, and then the rest of the section is devoted to inspirational books about Jesus and people's imaginary interactions with him.
Yeah. Okay.
My son went to heaven.
The, you know, whole wall of the Left Behind and
right, and you know, I guess you couldn't sell a bajillion books at the Golden Gideon Cross bookstore if your book was my 7-year old hallucinated while that he was dead. You know, that just doesn't sell.
Yeah.
By the way, you'll get a kick out of this. David from Maine, who keeps his thumb on this pulse at all times, just wrote in and said, eBay lists Confederate dresses. Go check it out. You can't sell Nazi memorabilia on eBay, but you can sell Confederate flag dresses. David in Maine just says, wow. So,
see, that tops, you know, the other thing that was doing my head in with Amazon, you know Farmville, that frightening setup, where they have a book called Dummies, Farmville's for Dummies, you know that series?
No.
Yeah, and the worst part, there was like, when I checked, there was one book left in stock, man. It had Amazon. Think about it.
Farmville.
You know, what's happening? What is happening to the world? Well, you got people, I don't know. Because I have issues with the Farmville stuff does my head in. That's
well, and it all started with Mafia Wars. A good buddy of mine was in on the ground floor of Mafia Wars. I think he's a capo de tutti capo now or something. But it's Farmville, it's Mafia Wars, it's Defend Your Medieval Castle. Oh, jeez.
No, but notice how it, but thing is so dangerous how it can easily morph into, and can you please let us have access to your organs? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful. Mark Zuckerberg wants everybody to note their organ donor status on their Facebook page.
But that's Farmville, all right. That's farming you.
Yeah. That's Farmville, and everybody just got access to the harvester.
Yeah. Anyway, no. I understand. You know what the.
Because you know, Dick Cheney had such a hard damn time finding a heart.
Oh no, we know what time it is. That's why that story really rubbed me. Because it's like, wait, this nasty ass plutocrat is telling all his followers on his fucked up Facebook to make sure that they alert whoever about giving up their organs. I mean, I don't know. It just was, you know.
You think he might go ahead and spring for everybody on Facebook to have some blood typing done?
Well, it's just nothing is benign with Facebook. So anytime there's some sort of pronouncement from headquarters, I'm always like going, oh no, you know, I need to deactivate this shit today.
Well, I keep forgetting. No, I get that about every day. I think that because this is no intended insult to any of the real people with whom I'm actually acquainted via the show and via Facebook.
Sure.
I mean, I've got like old high school friends and.
Oh no! Listen. Obviously, yeah. It's very useful. Don't get me wrong about that, but there's just
I've got friends I've never heard of.
Well, no, see. And just think about the idea that you're being forced to turn over passwords and stuff. It's like, well, hold on. Not only are you going to invade my privacy, but...
No, I won't let anything sign in with Facebook.
Right. I mean, no. Oh, God, no. You know, I'm forever battling because, you know, I use Twitter quite a bit. And it's like, oh, we want to use... No, you're not going to use my account for nothing. You know, if you use this application... It will do this, and this.
It will look at all your friends.
It'll send random tweets now and then. I'm like, oh, no. So I just...
No.
I have this one application that shortens the links, and that is it. It's all manual because I cannot be dealing with, you know, the bot mentality of the interweb where... 80% of it is not human anymore, and it gets just too weird.
Oh, no. No. I mean, if you see a tweet from me that says Bob Kincaid, I wrote it.
Yeah.
And I try to keep it that way.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, you know, because it's just when I started reading the fine print, because I get into that with the various internet stuff now because it's so...
You must have seen the South Park episode where Stan or Kyle was it, which one, didn't read his end-user license agreement for Apple.
No, I didn't see that.
That's worth looking up. It's actually a little too distasteful to describe on the air, but you want to read that agreement.
Well, you know, I've damn near given up using my Gmail mail because of this cross-platform now, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I use YouTube a lot, but I said, well, I guess, you know, so I don't really use Gmail that much because I cannot get with the, oh, by the way, don't worry, But, you know, we're going to cross-reference every possible free app that you have access to. And, yeah, we know you're creating free content for us, but we need all this so we can monetize it and sell it to our weird third-party corporations. You don't mind, do you?
No, shucks, no. That's why I keep clicking that little box every time you ask me to. No, but you know, if there's any comfort, and it is marginal and cold comfort at best, It is that Google's algorithms are dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass, Sandra. And I say that because I just, for instance, I sent an email to somebody, and I used the word Vermont in my email.
Yeah.
So I have a friendly linky now from the Gmail algorithm to tell me that I can visit Vermont Country Store at vermontcountrystore.com. Official site, practical and hard-to-find items. Shop online today. Well, there wasn't anything in my email about the Vermont Country Store, but you know, Google read Vermont, and, well, you know, he might be stupid enough to try this. Or at least he'll click the link and make us a penny.
Oh, yeah, no, listen, I know it just sounds crazy, but you would just be amazed by how many, I got all kinds of no cookies on this computer, utilities up the ass. I am, like, borderline paranoid at this point. But, listen, my computer runs really well because it ain't nothing on it.
Well, when I finally get time to tear this one down and rebuild it, I'm putting a condom on it. I really, really am.
Well, no, at any rate, I mean, you know, and of course, at the end of the day, I always say, if I put stuff out there, I know. It's just out there. I have no illusions. But on the other hand, I'm not throwing up pictures of my loved ones in every kind of position and, you know, outing either. It's ridiculous. Don't do it.
I have to, if there, okay, so you, Sandra, have your eyes wide open in dealing with all of this stuff. Oh, you've got some fun coming when the nieces get a little bit older, they're not already there.
No, that's already, you know, it's already, you know, they just think, oh, my God, Sandra is just crazy. I know they do. But that's just how it has to go. It's like, when I have a dirt nap, you know, it ain't a worry. But in the meanwhile, no, I just, you know, it's...
Because, I mean, I'm and Agnes is, too. You know, we're on top of the teenagers about all this stuff. And I'm like, no, there's just, you know, just because it enters your brain does not mean you need to run and type it onto Facebook. Because, see, where you and I and the Horn family, we recognize it as foreign and intrusive. Well, Facebook's been around long enough now that it's a perfectly normal part of your average 14-year-old's life.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, and these girls are not. I mean, they have nothing going on. They have a few little sites they go to play little games, but there is no.
I mean, look at what that sleazy Tucker Carlson website did to Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like they're better off not having any presence on there for as long as possible. I mean, I don't see any reason for it, you know, but everyone has, you know, I don't know. I've been seeing more and more articles about people disengaging from Facebook, at least. That's why that IPO, they really trying to rush that shit out because...
Yeah, before it turns. Before it turns.
Who knows what Facebook will be doing in 5 years?
Yeah, before it turns into MySpace.
Well, no, MySpace. Though, I mean, did we have a conversation about how MySpace? It just keeps popping up now in these like ghetto trials because MySpace was real popular amongst, let's say, the whatever trailer trash and black trash and whatnot, and so. They are still using that evidence from like 5 years ago. It's being used in court cases now.
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw MySpace, I thought, oh my God, it's so ghetto. This is too much.
All sparkly and stuff and sort of, and that's why Rupert Murdoch said, I've got to have that.
Yeah. Well, no, but Facebook is the same. I mean, it'll be the same way. You know, the information is being turned on people, you know, in court now. I don't know. It's just something really, you know, I'm just thinking, oh, if they ever want to subpoena, you know, my Twitter account, you know, what? I don't ever talk about anything but politics, so I don't really know what they can get out of it.
Well, yeah, and you occasionally agree. I laughed out loud when I saw your response to Isaac the other day and his picture comparing Melissa Harris Perry to one of the creatures from Galaxy Quest.
How do you know what I wrote? I know it was something obnoxious.
You said, be careful, she's a darling of the left.
Oh, right! Well, no!
The thing is, Galaxy Quest gets a little bit more relevant every day, it seems. It's
No way! You did not... Listen, that was so damn funny, though. I was laughing for a while.
You know, the bad guy monster with his gun that looks like a submarine sandwich? You know, Agnes even quotes the movie. You know, she'll read road signs and she'll say, "Jesus, this is pitiful. I've turned into the character from Galaxy Quest. All I do is repeat what the computer says."
I know, but Isaac was so wrong to do that to that woman. Anyway.
Yeah, and the other project that I need to whisper into the universe's ear. I got an email the other day. I got an internet. It was the original 1971 movie poster of Willard. And it's just kind of a line drawing of a rat's face coming out of the darkness.
Right.
And it's like, this one will scare you to death. And at the bottom it just says, Willard. And I wrote back and I said, oh God, where's our Photoshop genius when we need him? Or need her, because it would be so easy to morph, Photoshop, whatever, Willard Romney's face onto that rat, and then we're just done.
Oh, no. When was that movie made, anyway?
71, 72.
Oh, yeah, wasn't there just some fantastic movies like that made?
And didn't Michael Jackson do the moving, Ben. Beautiful theme to it?
Ben, right?
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, that was. But was Ben a separate movie?
I don't think it was. I thought it was from it. I mean, I don't. You know, my memory's been fuzzy on that. I'm starting to think about the attack of the Killer Tomatoes and when hell is full, they'll walk the earth. I mean, you know.
No one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes.
Oh, God. Well, yeah.
Oh, by the way, a little contribution came. Well, not a little contribution. A very nice contribution came in during the course of our phone call. And Ray in Arizona said, Bob, tell Sandra hello for me. She reminds me of my big sister talking shit while growing up.
Well, that's good. We always have to have that segment or that sort of level of discourse, you know, just to keep it angry and, you know, I don't know.
And you know, more than a little bit focused. I mean, we have our fun, but it's very focused fun, I think.
Yeah, well...
Oh, okay, correction coming in from Marty, who knows these kinds of things. Ben was the sequel to Willard.
Okay, right. But see, now that song is in my head, and it was such a bizarre song.
Well, I'm so glad that, and here's another story of, okay, life in the world of the interweb tubes. When I got back from D.C., and I did the show on Thursday night or Friday or whatever it was. When I need a piece of bumper music, I'll often run off and pay 99 cents for it. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Because I like to pay. And lo and behold, somebody at Amazon or somebody peeping in on Amazon scammed my debit card number. And the next morning, I woke up and found out that I had just spent $157 at a gas station in Verdun, France.
Well, yeah, but weren't you able to recoup that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got on it right away, but the only remedy to it is to, you know, chop the credit card, the debit card up into itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny little pieces and then, you know, wait while the problem gets resolved.
Right, where they credit your account and give you... send you another card.
Yeah, and that takes, you know, that's like ordering something off the TV in 1976. It takes, 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
Oh, wow.
Which actually turned into 46 weeks for delivery. That's what they meant all along. But, because I went and bought a song, somebody was able to, you know, and you know, I'm nobody else in America would see Verdun, France, and immediately start having all of this World War One stuff run through his head. But
well,
me.
You want to? You what? Yeah, God, that's a bit frightening.
And yeah, and you know, when I called the financial institution, I said, you know, what the hell's going on here? They said, well, you know what? We have a lot of problems with Amazon.
Mm.
And they said, apart from that, though, and this is the consumer alert program, there are some sort of wireless thingies where sleazy, skeevy people hang out at gas stations. I guess because the card reader that you put in to buy gasoline is wirelessly connected to the station itself and not necessarily hardwired. So, ba-thump, and they snag your credit card information.
Right.
They nick it that way.
Yeah, and some gas stations, I mean, Shell gas station is notorious for having, you know, for that kind of stuff happening, actually.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, that was going on here in California, you know, to the point where, you know, I was just rolling up with cash. I don't even bother with the machines anymore. Anyway.
Yeah, I will ever again.
Well, that's terrible. Well, okay, at least you were covered. You know, they weren't trying to say, no, you're in France, it has to be you.
Right. But, I had to send them an affidavit swearing I wasn't in Verdun. And of course, you know, you love the historical knowledge of the Horn family, Sandra. This is beautiful. Bill from Cleveland just wrote in and said, Verdun, they shall not gas. You know, Verdun, they shall not pass from the First World
right.
War.
Right. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez. Well, Sandra, it's been a delightful conversation, and I've enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, yeah. Well, have a good evening.
I'm going to try. You take
okay.
care.
Bye.
Bye now. Sandra calling from California. I'm still just stunned by this stupid Confederate dress. I mean, and you, Bill, you. Verdun, they shall not gas. You have no shame, sir. No shame whatsoever. So that's the we find our wow. Where'd those 2 hours go? Probably the same place that the next one's about to. And in rapid fire fashion, no less. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, 6 o'clock rolls around, and then the next thing you know, I'm looking up, going, "Damn." Okay. Thanks, Marty. See, we're getting all sorts of help here. Ben was the rat. Willard was the misfit, played by Bruce Davidson. Who played the X-Men's Senator Kelly. Ben was the rat. Willard was the misfit. I guess if they had remade it, well. Did they do a remake? Did they do a remake that involved that creepy guy who was karate kicking on Letterman's show one night? What's his name? Yeah. What do you mean I just outlined your retirement to Belize, Marty? Play the lottery? Mega Millions is like $100 million or so. So I got my ticket. Oh, it would be nice. It would be nice to open the microphone and never again do another fundraising pitch. So, you know, you buy your ticket. You take your chances. Now, let's see. Let's keep things going. No. Okay, try again. You guys have no patience. Anyway, if you want to jump in, you know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. For direct dial purposes, of course, you can reach the program 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. I knew it! Thank you, Marty. Crispin Glover, that's the guy. Played George McFly. Yeah, there was a Willard remake, and yeah, Crispin Glover played Willard. Oh, okay, I get it. when I was talking to Sandra about, can you imagine a world where John Boehner is Speaker of the House and Mitch McConnell is Majority Leader in the Senate, and they're just flying paper airplanes onto Obama or Romney's desk? Yeah, that's Marty's retirement plan. He says, off to Belize. That spells expat for me. And I more than understand that impulse. I get more than a little itchy just sitting around here in the mountains waiting to get blown up some more. Yeah, he was Michael J. Fox's father in the second, I guess, Back to the Future. So, I guess we'll, go on or take a break. I'd kind of like to take a break, but I got nothing in my head in the way of something for a bumper or a piece of bumper music. I don't know, let's do that thing we used to do with the hymnal in church where you just pick one. What do we got here? Yeah, let's try that just for fun. This will be enjoyable. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn. Like I said, sometimes I get the itch to get out of here. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
10 past the hour as we move into the last 45, 47 minutes of the program tonight. It is too weird not to be Flu Tuesday. That's a mouthful. You got to come up with something better. You just did. Just got an uplifting email from the folks at Nation of Change. I get their email updates every day, and they're proud to announce that they've met their spring goal. They basically send out an email every day telling you progressive news comments. I'm very happy for them. They've met their spring goal of $50,000. It's nice. It's very nice. Good for that. Interesting. Just following up on all the trivia, the little trivia closet that Sandra and I opened. In terms of Willard and Ben and the theme song. Isaac with a follow-up. You're going to love this one. Oh, you're going to love this one a lot. This is just beautiful. The producer of Willard was Bing Crosby. Isaac sent that along. That's just... Isaac said he liked that last track. That was, of course, Santana covering the Chuck Berry classic Havana Moon. I love that. I love that rendition. I love the original, too. I was playing, because I'm weird this way, I was playing Chuck Berry tracks for Ferg earlier today, just trying to, because there's some pop song out that's got a little shuffle to it, and it's one of those dun da dun da dun da dun 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 da dun da dun da dun dun, and he goes, "This is Doodle's favorite song, his baby sister." And I went, and he had immediately figured out how to play that particular riff on his guitar, and he was sitting there, nunk 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 nunk. I said, "Son, we got to talk." And he said, "What?" And I clackety 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 clack, and he said, "Look at you, Dad, thumbing away like a teenager." I was kind of proud of that little moment. I really was. And so, trying to do my bit for rock and roll literacy, having heard that dunk a dunk a dunk a dunk dunk, that, well, I fired up the YouTubes, and I got him a track, a classic track, of the recently passed away and much mourned great man, Johnny Otis, and the original Willie and the Hand Jive. Which, incidentally, has right smack dab in the middle of it, that chunk a chunk a chunk a chunk 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 chunk. Yeah, got a cool little chick named Rockin' Millie. Right, I'm not going to sing. And I love those little eye-opening moments for Ferg, because I said, "Now, let's go up to Chuck Berry." And so I played him the original Havana Moon, then I played him the Santana Havana Moon. And then I said, "But wait." And so he sees, I said, "You know, Chuck Berry was the original showman." And I showed him a track of him, doing the duck walk and everything, and getting down on the floor and all that stuff. And I said, "What do you think of that?" He said, "Hmm." And so, clackety, 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 clack, again we go, and there we are at Pete Townsend. And clackety, clack, and there's Jimi Hendrix setting fire to his guitar. I said, "Are you beginning to get the theme here, son?" He said, that everybody else is following someone that went before. I said, "Precisely." And then I played him a clip of Keith Richards saying, The minute I heard Chuck Berry, I knew what I wanted to do with my life." And so then we went forward, and I showed him some punk, which built on you know, Pete Townsend's antics and said, ain't nobody doing nothing original. Because when you get right down to it, nothing is. The fundamental creative impulses in human beings stem from a common humanity. And it doesn't matter what tradition or what style you come from. There is a common element of humanity. And that's just what it's like around here. Of course, today is the 19th anniversary of Agnes and I exchanging vows on a hill, on a West Virginia hilltop. Well, I've told the story before, but we had the wedding outside. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. You could not have asked for better. And outside, under the sun, beautiful. And of course, the entire wedding was watched through the scope mounted on a .30-06 rifle as the individual watching decided whether or not he wanted Agnes and me to die. But he decided to let us live. And aren't you glad? I am. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, I'm glad he decided to let you live. How are you doing today, Brother Bob?
Pretty good, Brother Albert. How about you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I just picked up a couple of pizza ovens.
No, really?
Yeah.
Man, this thing's moving along.
It has to. It really, really does. It's actually, now I'm trying to pick up all the pieces I've set, like, it's like a box of ball bearings I've spilled all over the floor, and now I'm trying to pick them up. You know, I got this one to do and this one to talk to.
Well, have you been in contact with Sister Patty?
I have been in contact with her, but my mom just got here the other day and yesterday, so, you know, it's just been one of those days. Patty, I'm coming. I'll get you. We'll talk. I promise. I can't wait. You know. But yeah, it's just been a little. It's been a little hectic. I'm trying to move as fast as possible. They're old ovens, though. This is some old school oven.
You know what? If you can rehab those things to where they need to be, you know, check their gas ovens, right?
Yes, sir.
Check all the orifices and everything. Those are going to be better than new.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
You know, they're broke in. They've got the carbonized char on the oven floor. You know, the pies will slide right off the split and onto the. Oh man, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I might have to update a few little parts here and there, but you know, I guess 500 for two is a lot better than 5,000 for one.
Hear, hear.
And I don't want to get too over my head, and you know, because I'd like to make a real business of it, you know. And I don't have a cocaine issue, so I should be all right. Because that seems to be a
not snorting your profits is really the key. Is really the key to the business plan.
Yeah, I can't see the allure to it anyway. But I guess, you know.
The thing. You're kind of alive enough. I can't imagine. No, just can't imagine. Yeah. And see, you know, you can get the $5,000 oven after the first store is a rousing success and you begin to branch out.
That's exactly my thought. That's exactly how I'm looking at it. You know, this is going to be, if you do the math, you know, you sell 25 pies a day. That's pretty good money. So I'm not going to be too greedy, and I just want to produce. I just want people's eyes to roll in the back of their head. And, you know, I'm going to paint these ovens. Right now they're kind of black. I'm going to grind them out and paint them nice and red. I think red would be a nice, happy pizza color. Plus, it would kind of fit. They had to have been made in the 40s, late 40s, early.
Oh, man, those are going to be some awesome ovens.
Yeah.
Are they Vulcans?
My shape. I can't tell. I can't tell yet. He was going to put them, there's a pizza guy out here, you know, friends of the in-laws, and he was going to make another... He was going to make another shot. And then he's like, because some of these towns out here, they're an hour away from each other. And, I'm getting too old for this crap, but I'll just handle the one place. And I think he had seven tables, and, you know, he was pulling over 200 a year.
Well, Michael, Kid A from the chat room, who also has spent his fair share of time in the state of Wisconsin, having grown up there and gone to the fine university there in Madtown. Michael just wrote in to say, pizza party. When's the first annual Horn Pizza Party in Wisconsin? Set the date.
I can't wait. I can't wait to host that. Oh, absolutely. Don't worry about bringing no money. It's just pizza. It's really not that expensive.
and some of that awesome Wisconsin craft beer, you know, the stuff that doesn't come from giant corporate conglomerates. It just gives me the chills thinking about it.
I'm gonna have some Pearl Street on tap, no doubt. But I'm gonna have some of the other. I know the brewer. He's a friend of mine, so you know he might be able to.
That is a beautiful, beautiful phrase, Brother Albert. I know that brewer. He's a friend of mine.
Yes, sir. It's not bad.
Dr. Bill O'Brien had his retirement from Concord University reception a week ago last Friday. And his assistant, who is, of course, raised very much the teetotaler type that we have here in West Virginia, she recounted the story of her and Dr. Bill. She went to Dr. Bill one day and said, "My granny..." And this happens around here, not just in Truman Capote stories, Albert. She said, "My granny is making a cake, and she needs some bourbon. And I don't know anything about bourbon. Where do you go to get bourbon, Dr. Bill?" And Dr. Bill, you know, old Bostonian. I mean, he's been down here in the hills forevermore, but he's still an old Bostonian, and he looked at her kind of askance. "You kidding me? Where does bourbon? What?" And he said, "Okay, so when we're done running our errands, we'll stop and get your bourbon." And along the way, she said something like, "No, I'm not kidding. I don't know how to get it. I don't know how to buy it. Where does it come from?" And in that instant, just one of those moments provided courtesy of the universe, that little moment of inspiration, "Where does it come from?" And Dr. Bill just looks at her and says, "Heaven. It comes from heaven." Yeah, so I know that guy. He's a friend of mine. The brewer is in that same sort of.
Oh man, speaking of heaven, we've had our fair share of religious documentaries over the past few years. There's been a lot of light, you know, shine on these individuals, and I have a recommendation.
Okay.
But you gotta. Alright, this one's tough. But it's so raw. The guy who did it is he's an amateur. So he asked these people questions that made them think that he's on their side. And he really got them to open up and just shivers. It's called "In God We Trust," and there's a question mark. You can find it at topdocumentaryfilms.com. It's been recently added. So check in the browse section. It's the second one down.
"In God We Trust?" Question mark.
Question mark. And what it relates to is how there in North Carolina, I believe it's North Carolina, there is a veterans memorial, and one of our veterans came back from Afghanistan, and he happened to see that they wanted their Christian flag, and they had a Christian flag on this monument. That's a government monument. He said he went to go try to get it taken down, and they refused, and so he contacted the ACLU. And then you get to interview and watch, and I don't want to ruin it for you, but my goodness gracious, what these people don't know about their own religion is so frightening. And then when they find out things like, oh, slavery and put this and that, the justifications they go through, it's almost like blowing onto a swimming pool, making a little divot, and then quickly, oh, God must have changed his mind. There's almost no getting through them. It's like arguing with a libertarian. You know, like one of the worst traps you could ever get involved with on an internet forum is to discuss monetary policy with a libertarian.
Oh, it's...
Just go pick
It's a trip into the monkey house. It really, really is.
Go get one of those knuckle graters and rub it over your eyes. You'd have more fun. it just is terrible. I mean, these people, what do you call someone who voted for George W. Bush twice and then wants to avoid all personal responsibility for it?
Libertarian.
A libertarian who loves Ron Paul.
And wants to smoke dope.
They always say, sometimes. but at the same time, they'll, you just got to love it. These people, it's just the circular logic that they'll...
Yeah, and, Benedict in the chat room is also noting, Google the phrase, libertarianism makes you stupid.
I will. I am certainly going to. Because you need ammunition when you're dealing with these people, because they don't listen to reason. They have no sense of justice.
Well, Albert, have you run off to the YouTubes yet and viewed Dark Matter 2525's The Book of Job? I played a little teeny tiny snippet of it last night. You owe this to yourself. Everybody who lives in rational world owes this to themselves. It is something approaching perfect. And Dark Matter 2525's other animated videos are equally Jesus, genius, including another classic, The Thing God Can't Do. And you're thinking, grow a limb back, you know, because everybody's always getting their cancer cured, but he's never even grown so much as a knuckle back on. No, it's not that. You owe this, you well and truly owe this to yourself.
I was enjoying that part. I was actually on the phone with you last night, and I had to get disconnected because I had a bunch of things I had to do.
I understand completely. No worries.
But I was certainly listening, and I was enjoying that, and that's why I usually try to avoid a lot of these religious things just because they creep me out, and that's probably why I didn't get, once you get that fire lit, it's like, oh, all right, fine, let's watch that. No, it's just terrible. I mean, you're arguing, God.
Oh, I know, and I've seen some mention of this North Carolina issue because I saw it framed coming from the right-wing religion industrial complex as Obama's trying to take it. Somebody posted that, one of these anonymous people that I click confirm on the stupid Facebook posted something on my wall about our veterans are being assaulted by the heathen atheists.
You will hear some of the, and you probably heard it before, and I try to isolate myself and family from things like that, just because, I don't want to hang out with those people. So I try to stay away from them as much as possible. But the things you're allowed, and you gotta love them when they don't have them bottom teeth. Oh my God. But, so this tusk mouth guy, the eyes, the dead eyes on these people. They only light up.
Well, that's because they're already dead here and they're just waiting to go to heaven.
That's right. He's like, well, we gotta find out who made this report. Meanwhile, it's a veteran. The guy who made the complaint is an Afghan. He was a Bronze Star winner. He served in Afghanistan. And he came back. And that's the thing. These people don't comprehend. There is a separation of church and state, you fool. There is. In fact, the Baptists were the ones who said, hey, you know what? That's a pretty good idea. We like that.
Yeah, Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists.
Yeah. We like this. This is good. We don't want the state to be involved with us. We want to be able to, the Jews want to be Jews, let the Jews be Jews. And we wanted those, right? They wanted those riflemen, right? And those riflemen were Presbyterian, right? So it's like, the separation of church and state, yeah. Why do you need everyone to believe like you? And they're all, if you ain't Christian, get out of town. And I like to believe that, my version of America is a tolerant place. That's my idealism.
Yeah, where they can believe any little fairy tale they want to.
Believe, yeah.
This is where it all falls apart, Brother Albert. They do not get to compel the rest of us to go along with their particular fairy tale by engrafting it upon the state.
Oh yeah, they want a theocracy.
I mean, I've got a story here. I didn't get to it yet, and you've very graciously led us right into it. It's a beautiful thing in its ugly sort of theocratic way. It has to do with a right-wing radio host named Matt Barber, Brother Albert. He hosts a very well-funded radio show called Liberty Council's Faith and Freedom radio program. And he was, and now granted, you know, Liberty Council, you know, that's some pretty evangelical fundamentalists, but, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and that's a tough philosophy to adhere to. It gets you in trouble sooner or later, but there it is. So, he was all huzzahing. You know, I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. He was harumphing the hell out of the Catholic bishops for standing up to the religious tyranny of Barack Hussein Obama. Okay?
He's a Christian.
He said...
He ain't a Christian.
No, he's not. He's a Muslim.
Muslim.
You didn't know that? Muslim dog eater. They are saying, President Obama, no, we will not comply with this unconstitutional, immoral mandate, Barber explained. And again, in the spirit of Martin Luther King, Jr., they're vowing civil disobedience, and I say, good for them. but that was just a teaser. Because the real beautiful part of it came a little bit later in the broadcast when he said, it says to the mandate does that. It says to the Catholic bishop, it says to the individual Christian, you have no choice. You must embrace our postmodern secularist worldview that says that life is meaningless and the unborn child has no value. And when we all know that it's worth $9.95, right? And you must become complicit in abortion homicide. You must fund, underwrite that slaughter of innocent human beings, or you will be penalized under the full weight of government. Well, and okay, here's the fun part, Albert. You all strapped in real good?
I'm getting there. All right, hang on.
I mean, this, yeah, you're going to have to use the whole Clockwork Orange head frame, eyes propped open, kind of, you know, tennis ball in the mouth thing for this one, okay? I mean, I'm just warning.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
That is no different than the Muslim terrorist going into the village, holding the gun to your head and saying, kill your family member or you will suffer the full weight of our tyranny. This is all tyranny. This president is engaging in tyranny.
Oh, God. You know...
See, you chewed right through the tennis ball right quick, didn't you?
Real quick. I'll bite a leather belt in half on that. You know, I kind of think, you know, granted, you know, when they wrote, you know, when they started this country out, we had kings and so on and so forth, and they said tyrants. But they never really looked out for how the majority becomes a tyrant. You know, they always talk about, oh, the tree of liberty must be blah, 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 blah. You know, you are tyrants. You are the tyrant. Nobody, for making things fair, for making things equal and just and giving the minority, an equal footing to not subjugate these people under, you know, this is a Christian country and everything else. Shut. Oh, I can't stand it. I just can't stand this closed-minded, oh, they're persecuting us. God damn, how is it? You people, I wish you would get, I wish we, just that makes me want Xenu to come back and just start, you know, subjugating, like being a real tyrant. You know,
well, that's the whole point. You know, these yeah. Phony baloney evangelical fundamentalists constantly prate on and on and on about how they're being persecuted.
Mm.
But they don't understand. Yeah. They don't understand persecution. Persecution is when you're sitting in the ringside seat watching your sister being pulled to pieces by a wild beast. Okay, that's being persecuted. Being served a cold cup of half-calf latte with extra soy foam that's not fully hotter, that's not 212 degrees by some atheist, is not persecution. But the right-wing religion industrial complex is convinced that it is.
Mm. Yeah, they're just ridiculous. And, you know, I feel like when I see it, I have to confront it. It's evil. have to confront it. And
the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing.
You know what? That is true. I didn't even think of it like that, but that is true. I do know that saying, but I just kind of, it's just like, no, I'm not going to let you just spill filth all over the place because, you know, I know there are gullible people out there. They'll say, oh, yeah, really? And then they'll, okay, you know, I guess I believe that. Because they don't, you know, not everybody thinks. Not everybody thinks deeply. They like other people to do their thinking for them. And
well, it's like something that Agnes said to me today. You know, she was in this wreck, and she is still in physical therapy. And the physical therapist has made it quite clear over the course of months that she is deeply a right-winger, you know, a real live teabagger and stuff. And so what Agnes observed to me today is that, you know, she'll sit there and she'll talk about issues, and they'll sit there and they can agree on stuff. That times are tough for small businesses right now, for instance, like small physical therapy businesses. That our for-profit workers' comp system is making life harder for them and for injured working people than it needs to be. Okay, yep, check that box off too, right there.
Yep.
And you can go right down the list, as Agnes has, and then the minute you mention political party,
well, that Obama, he's a communist, socialist, Muslim, anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people. I can't vote for him.
And so they will run off and vote for some teabagging horse's ass because the teabagging horse's ass mouths the right things, even though everything the teabagger wants to do is directly inimical to the position of this small business owner.
They cut off our face to spite their nose. That's what they're doing.
Oh.
That's what they're doing. I mean, you know, and often, if you ever want to have this discussion with someone of these people, you know, virtually, just get into a climate change debate.
Oh, Jesus.
And you can literally destroy them. That's the one beautiful thing that the scientists are really starting, you know, because scientists and liberals are really good at the internet. And there's more data than you can even imagine. And it's all really easy to read. And it's all really nice graphs that actually say what.
Yeah, but that's that science.
Yeah, that is that science. But, you know, yeah, like, for example, and of course, you know, once you smash them on, you know, the physics of CO2, which is one of those things that we understand probably out of science, but it's one of the things we really understand. We got a grip on how CO and how carbon and oxygen and how that system works. We understand that we can demonstrate it. It's rock solid science for that. So that usually just decimates them, but they're impervious. They're impervious to any fact, any reason, any of this. And then, you know, you'll get on to, let's say then you bring up, of course, what happens when carbon dioxide goes into the ocean. We all know what happens with that. Turns it, right, it starts getting acidic. And we've been noticing that, you know, for the past 30 years or since the Industrial Revolution, the ocean has acidified by 30%. So I use that, right? And I say, hey, you know, here's the science, here's the data. 30% is only 0.1 pH. Only 0.1 pH. Only 0.1 pH in your bloodstream, and you're dead. Only 0.1 pH. Yeah, I know, it only seems only little, tiny little bit, because what we live on, you see, here's the thing, it just drives me nuts. We survive.
Well, point one blood alcohol, and you're talking to fire hydrants. And saying things like, really, Ossifer, I'm not nearly as thick as you drunk I am.
X, Y, W,
P.
You know, falling over. I mean, come on, guys. What enables this complex organism known as a human being to exist is the microorganisms that just completely cover the planet and exist everywhere on the planet. All the microlife in the ocean, all the microlife in the soil. You know, that's why organic vegetables taste better. Because they come from a living system. It's not just some chemical system. It's a living system. And, yeah, there's chemistry involved, but But it's a living lie system, and there's microorganisms. And
yeah, see, this is, you're tapping right now into why I am so godforsaken angry at these relentless, remorseless, merciless bastards who are blowing up my home. Because, see, we're being told now, don't eat the food out of your gardens because it's full of cancer-causing toxins.
Well, how'd it get there?
Well, you know, if you ask the mountaintop removers, Jesus put it there.
I think Obama did it.
Well, probably so.
Yep. That's...
has nothing to do with those 5 million pounds of high explosives going off every day and putting God knows... And the toxins are, and this is a really fun word, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. And they happen when, like diesel fuel doesn't completely burn up when it explodes. And then itsy bitsy micro minuscule, can't see it under a scanning electron microscope particles, land on your dirt and wind up in your belly because you love fresh tomatoes long about mid to late July.
There's that factor we were talking about.
Yeah, I know.
That's impossible.
Unscannable.
It can't happen. Yeah. Never. Listen, no.
Do you people even watch this program? Yeah, I know.
I don't, you know, it is. And, you know, it's not even, they're cutting off our face.
Yeah, and Benedict in the chat room's adding to the .01. Yeah, Benedict said .02, and I'm saying I love you to women, and that's always trouble.
Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing. You know, you talk about that, you know, the acidification, .1 pH. Let's see, even if we stop it all now, we're still due for another .1. We're due to raise it .2. And... You know, and
the fish aren't going to like that.
Oh, you know, that's the other thing. You get these, methane's 100 times worse than CO2. Yeah, but you know, and methane is bad, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, let's dump methane in the atmosphere. But you're over here talking about something we measure in the parts per million, which is CO2, and it's the highest that we've ever seen it, and there's something measured in the parts per billion. And
well, or look at coal ash. The Republicans and a handful of Democrats, my congressman being one of them, are all opposed to the EPA being able to regulate coal ash, and they done put them out a brand spanking new bill to keep the communist EPA from regulating good patriotic American coal ash, because ain't nothing wrong with coal ash, except for the fact that there is the concentrations of arsenic in some drinking water supplies near the coal ash disposal ponds, you know, like the one that broke in East Tennessee a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like 200-300 times higher than the EPA considers safe for things that don't want to get cancer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you heard the Green News report earlier, Albert, you heard that. What the were they teaching at Brigham Young University when Willard Romney was there? They were teaching about what Jesus said when he landed among the Indians. Oh, for my life.
What Jesus likes on his plane rides to Kolob.
Yeah, right. You know, he likes a little hot compress now and then. Well, him and his brother, the devil, they both like it.
That's right.
But there he is saying, I have to learn more about these job-killing regulations against these poor fishermen. And as Desi Doyen pointed out, you know, the regulations that are trying to actually keep the fishing business alive. Because we've already fished to extinction. The massive, massive, massive the cod schools that are near extinction, that were off the northeastern U.S. and off the eastern coast of, you know, Halifax, Nova Scotia, all of that over, you know, my Canada's not so good. There are stories told by people who have sailed the Pacific, for instance. I'm in this reading stuff about sailing phase right now. Thank you, Tom. And there are accounts of... And it's not a joke of people who would make trans-Pacific passages in like the 1920s and 1930s. And fish would literally, you know, no fishing poles, nothing. Fish would leap onto the boat. Now, there was a voyage about a year or so ago, and it was on a boat that was made entirely out of sustainable, recycled, blah, 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 blah. You know, we do those kind of things now, and it's really cool. And that person had read those accounts, and he said, you know, in the 3,000, 6,000 miles, whatever it was that it took us to cross, we saw one flying fish. One. You know, my father told me stories about being off watch and above decks on the aircraft carrier Essex during the Second World War, and just watching the life, flying fish and stuff, and fish breaching the sea, and dolphins and whales, and he said it was just amazing to behold. A lot of that stuff's gone. I mean, yes. the cod population off the northeast United States, Albert, used to be, I mean, the water was thick with them. You know, a great deal of the early exploration of this continent had to do with the French, the Dutch, and the English wanting to get their hands on that cod, and there was more there than they could fish. And it's gone now. It's goddamn gone.
Tell you what, you know, when zooplankton collapses and we start running out of oxygen, I'm just going to have to stare them in the face. You know, they're going to try their little escapes with drug overdoses, and I'm going to have just Epicac syrup in one of those little backpack spray pump thingies.
Yep. Sorry, you don't get to go. You got to stay and play.
Yep. You know, oh, no, you thought it was a good idea. You know, oh, how could we stop fishing? You know, oh, why should we stop dumping? Oh, why should we do this? Why should we have windmills? Why should we have, oh, that's too expensive. It's not ready yet. It's this, it's that, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and now there's nothing.
And, you know, we are notorious, Albert, for movie references around here. Let me throw one at you real quick. You're going to like this.
Welcome, humans.
Aw, come on. You can do it.
I can't.
Oh, I hate this when it happens. Come on. Oh, who's on the Wi-Fi? Damn it. Let's try this again.
Welcome, humans. I am ready for you.
Oh, almost. Let's try another one and see if it works any better. This just pisses me off.
Fish and plankton and sea greens and protein from the sea. Fish and plankton and sea greens and protein from the sea. Fish and plankton.
Yeah,
and
you remember the guy we're talking about here?
I can't. I don't know.
Oh no. Okay.
Bad.
This is the second reference to the movie this evening. Logan's Run. They're trapped in the ice cave.
Yes.
They're trapped in the ice cave with the robot who's there in charge of fish and plankton and sea greens from the sea. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of course they're all living in and if you that, you know, it's kind of a cheesy movie. But it's worth the rewatch, because if you think about it, this is the this is the 1% culture that goes into the bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
a bubble and a half.
Yeah, because you know, and trapped in their bubbles, they create a myth of sanctuary. Sanctuary. You know how it goes.
Yeah, it's sanctuary. It's, you know, infinite, you know, they'll tell you oil's abiotic, and you know, we're in no danger of running out of it, you know, and they just continue. Oh, there's no way, it's not gonna, 0.1 pH ain't gonna affect no life. And then they'll quote some
Oh, some goober.
You'll have, I mean, just Google it. You know, Google has documents, Google documents. I mean, that's the nice thing about Google, and everybody can say, oh, I got this and that. I'll tell you what, though, in terms of a resource, goodness gracious, the amount of information that you can, I mean, you know, I just look at them. I just say to them, I'm like, you just love being piled underneath scientific papers. I think that's your fetish. You just love getting just annihilated and eviscerated. You didn't eviscerate me. That's because you can't read.
It's because you can't spell eviscerate.
Yeah, you can't spell eviscerate. You don't even know what eviscerate means. You're eviscerated. Oh, you're just in a fantasy land. You think you're some kind of holy warrior or something? You think you're Moadib? Is that what you think? Yeah, I know. That's what I think. I think I'm riding on the sandworm. I do. And the reason that your guts are all over your lap in the desk you're sitting is my Chris knife.
Oh, you mean you didn't use the weirding way and just explode him from the inside out with the sound of your voice?
No, because I want to make sure he feels it, and I want his blood to just I want his water to be dry upon the wasteland of his ideology. That's what I want. He needs to be an example to me. I wish I had that weirdness. They're lucky I don't have them kind of power. I mean, I'm glad I don't have those kind of powers because these people drive me to those kind of extremes. It's like, yeah, listen.
Well, no, that's like me, Albert. I mean, from time to time, I find myself just saying, Jesus, please, if you love me like you say you do, you will not make a baseball bat materialize in my hands. And that's how I know that Jesus loves me, because he doesn't make the baseball bat materialize in my hands. Because, you know, once Jesus makes the baseball bat materialize in your hands, then you're off into a different movie, and you're Robert De Niro in The Untouchables. You like baseball? I like baseball. It's a team sport, you know.
See? And that's the thing. And that's the real thing, isn't it? Because these are the same people, they don't want to pay any tax. Like they have no mother. They have no country.
These useless turds, Albert. You know, consider the person who brought the suit, one of the people who brought the suit against the Affordable Care Act. It was a woman who said, hell no, you're not going to make me pay for no insurance. Now she was a one percenter, okay?
Of course.
At the time. You know, we'll pay our way because we're marking. Then she got sick, and then her family went bankrupt. And so there she is, deadbeating her medical bills that the rest of us pay for, and it doesn't matter if you've got insurance or not, you're paying, you know, the rate that I'm going to go pay to have this godforsaken little Republican taken out of my belly includes the losses incurred on account of people like her. But Obama's assaulting our freedoms. You know, F them. I mean, F them with a red-hot poker. The fact of the matter is, the administrative agency that oversees Medicare, they have announced that the reforms in the Affordable Care Act have saved senior citizens a total of somewhere around $3.4 billion, with a damn B billion, in prescription drug costs. Over 220,000 beneficiaries have saved an average of $837 apiece in the first 3 months of 2012 alone. Do the math.
Goddamn freeloaders.
Yeah, wanting America to give them something for free?
Yep.
And those idiots standing outside the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court upholds this godforsaken law, will we comply? Hell no! Will we resist? Hell yes! Are we dumber than the Post? You betcha!
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing. It's like, you know, they hate paying taxes. They think it's theft. They think it's theft. They literally...
The government is stealing money from me. The money, and they're taking the money I earned and giving it some welfare queen.
And I can agree with them that the government does not spend the money wisely.
No, not when you're fronting a stupid war that you can't win and never could in Afghanistan. That's not a wise use of resources.
I mean, tenure, and then when you're giving tax cuts, which, I mean, isn't it kind of the pattern that every time the tax rate's low, GDP starts crawling, and then every time the tax rate gets high, GDP starts really picking up?
Well, and that's the thing. These people are ideologically opposed to their own best interest. They got stinking, stupid, filthy rich under the Clinton tax rates. And they did not get as rich under the Bush tax giveaway. They just got a welfare check. And yet they preach to us about how, well, you know what? You know, God damn that Mitt Romney. You know, what you need to do is borrow money from your parents. Well, it turns out one of his sons, Trag or Frag or Dig or Doug or whatever, borrowed a few millions from him and then went and hit his campaign donors up for more to form his own little hedge fund.
Oh, my.
Isn't it sweet?
But, oh, it must be rough. Oh, what a rough life.
And he did that without touching the untaxed $100 million trust fund that's just sitting there waiting for him.
And what the hell?
Hey, Dad, you got $10 million I can borrow? Sure, son.
You know, they should be...
Why do you look like an Osmond, son? That's what I still can't figure out.
I mean, come on, people. How much money do you fucking need? For real? For serious? Why do you need so much money? You got it already. Just go... God damn it, make us jealous by never working a day in your life and having a beautiful tan and living on the beach because, man, go enjoy your life. I'm never going to... Just stop making so much money. Just stop. And stop sitting there. You know, your money makes money for you, and it only gets taxed 15% or 13%, but my wife works a fair. We work our fingers to the bone. We're getting 35, 38. What the hell is that? Money should be taxed three times as much as labor. Because you're not doing anything. They're not taxing your original investment. And you know what? Even if it is, I mean, goodness gracious, what, a 70%, that's bad? That's terrible? What are you talking about? What's wrong with you? How much? You got $100 million. What can't you do? What can't you do with $100 million?
See, that's the thing. That's where the Mega Millions is right now, and I'm thinking there's not much I can't do.
That's what I mean. Go and live your life. Enjoy. Go make art. Go do whatever you want to go do.
Do nice things for other people who need nice things done for them. Exactly. Albert, got to get out of here, brother.
All right, brother. You take care.
Back to work on those ovens.
I'm getting there, brother.
All right, see ya. Bye now.
All right, bye.
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. It is time to get out of here. Thanks for a wonderful Tuesday evening, all of you. Thank you for your kind contributions. Maybe May will turn out a little bit better than, yeah. But thank you. Thank you very much for your kind contributions. Thank you for all the myriad ways in which you participate. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Our op-ed correspondent, Reverbo, is on deep assignment below the possum line and behind the cornbread curtain. Thanks to my head writer, David in Tennessee. Thanks to John Fox for all he does. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and StopTheAche.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith.